In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The New Jerusalem is described as a walled city with the gates wide open. What is the point of a wall if the gates are open? The walls are beautiful, studded with jewels, but the walls are meant to keep the unworthy and the unrighteous out. The walls measure and divide between us and you, says Father Abraham to the rich man in hell. There is a great gulf fixed, and none can pass. Nothing unclean enters into the city, nor does anyone who does what is detestable or false. Who has never done what is detestable or false? Who has not boasted or bragged or pretended to be things that he is not? Who has not exaggerated or left off crucial details? Who here is true? Wretched men are we up against the beautiful law that shows us what God wants, what is good, and what we really are. We cannot scale these walls. We cannot endure the law's perfect standards. We belong according to our works and imperfect faith with the rich man in hell. But we don't need to scale the walls because the gates are wide open. Those gates in the verses just before those which are read today are described as being built each from a single pearl, which would mean those gates, those pearls, must have been about the size of this chapel. But each of those pearls has been rolled away. Now, what does that rolling back of a giant stone remind you of? Those who enter into the city of peace are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who enter did not write their own names. They did not claim heaven by deeds or piety. They did not name the city their city. But their names have been written and are written by the Lord. It is his book, not ours. They are written is the ESV's attempt to translate a perfect passive participle. And the ESV gets it about as right as you can in English if you're going to limit yourself to a reasonable amount of words. The Greek perfect is often rendered in English with the present tense. When translating what is said of the prophets, we say or translate, it is written, even though it's a perfect. We don't and we shouldn't translate that as it has been written, because the past perfect in English means something that's finished. But the perfect tense in Greek indicates a completed action that has current and ongoing consequences. When you get to your liturgics classes, you will do well to pay attention to the rubrics, and you should learn them well. It's tempting to say, well, it's all adiaphora, and ceremonies aren't commanded by God, and that's certainly true. But there is a sloppiness amongst us that we announce the readings often by saying it is the epistle is from whatever. And what we really are supposed to say is, like Jesus when he quotes Isaiah and the like, it is written. Now, it's a subtle thing. No one's going to be damned or go to heaven because of it. But small ceremonies do matter. And there's something profound and strong about confessing that what we are reading to the people is written. It is solid and enduring, and it does last. So it is here that the names of the elect have been and remain and always will be written in the Lamb's book. Perfect. Notice, too, that it's a participle. That's a verb acting as a noun, or a verb acting as an adjective acting as a noun. It's a verb in the nominative plural. These, the elect, those who stroll through the gates of pearl as though they own the place, as though there are no walls at all, they are the written ones. They are defined by having been written. They're not the writers, because it's passive. They're the written ones. And when we recall that St. John titles our Lord both in his gospel and here again in this vision as the Logos, the Word, it becomes quite profound. The Lamb writes them into his book by writing his name, the Logos, into them. They weren't baptized into their own names. They were baptized into his name, and with his name they got who and what he is. And when you get him and what he is, you get what he has done. Baptized into his name, they are baptized into Yahweh, who saves his people by the sacrifice of his Son. Baptized into his name, being written, they are baptized and written into the family of God, reconciled back and beyond Eden in an intimate relationship with the Holy Trinity, bold now to call God Father and Bridegroom. And that river, the new Jordan, comes flowing crystal clear from under his throne and out of those gates into the world. He is the Lamb, the sacrifice. He was slain, but he lives and he reigns. He sits on the throne with the Father and the Spirit, and the throne may well be in the shape of a cross. There is no temple. Inside those walls, there is no law to worship God. There is no sun or moon. It is always day. No need, no command to work or to rest. The Lamb, the Lord God Almighty himself, is their sufficiency, their temple, their light, their food, their water, their life. They neither marry nor are they given in marriage. They are sealed in bliss like the holy angels, and the devil's lies and accusations are never heard again. St. John receives this vision on the lonely shores of Patmos, denied the greater honor and the quicker relief of his brothers. And he needs this letter. He needs the encouragement, the reminder, the goal set again before his eyes, because there in those long days and nights he might well think, why wasn't I worthy to be martyred like them? Why must I suffer so long, so lonely, in such an insignificant way, in such a backwater place? So the Lord sends him a vision of the end, comfort and assurance, the promise. Your name, John, is written in the book, and the gates are wide open. So also do we need this encouragement. In some ways, it's easy to be a martyr. It's easy when they come for you with machine guns and open up the door and say, blaspheme Jesus or be killed. And to say, oh, well, I can see that's wrong, I won't do that. In many ways, it's harder, day after day after day, in mundane and small ways that no one seems to know or care about, to resist temptation and to be eaten away by the lies and to have your reputation destroyed. We, too, need the encouragement sent to St. John, the vision, because his is not the only name written, but your name is written in well, written as well. And we need that little perfect passive participle, because the Lord does not say to John that his name will be written in the book someday if he is good, but that it is written. It has been and remains written, and John is a written one. Now he has pain and sorrows and days on days of waiting. But soon this will pass and he will be brought to his reward and stroll through the gates wide open by grace. The gates are open, and no wall, no pearl, no stone will keep you out. In Jesus' name, amen.